We were discussing the differences between Nida d'Oraisa and Nida d'Rabbanan. The Nida d'Oraisa is a woman, either she has a Hagasha, which most of them don't feel today, together with blood coming out. And therefore she becomes a Nida d'Oraisa, or if you see it, or if she sees anything coming out directly from the Makor, from the uterus, and she does a Bedika Koth, or if the husband after relations finds that's Nida d'Oraisa. Nida d'Rabbanan is if she only doesn't feel anything, but she finds a stain on her underwear. So that's only rabbinical, so therefore the different leniencies with Nida d'Rabbanan, that if she sees less than a size of a penny, dime, even on white underwear, we assume it's from bed bugs. They're making a comeback these days, bed bugs. They were gone for a long time. And we said, if it's not during the Shiva Nikiyam, so she wears colored underwear, she should wear all colors. She shouldn't be wearing like off-white or any of those colors. It should be colored. And then, so even if she sees more than a gris, it's okay. And or something which is on Enam Makabel Tuma, like if she sees on the toilet paper, perhaps in the toilet bowl, so then there are more leniencies there. So we said that's Nida d'Oraisa, that's Nida d'Rabbanan, and during the Shiva Nikiyam she has to wear white, so she could wear those white panty liners if there are any issues in that, and she has to do bedikas during that time. So while a woman's in Nida, so there are different things that are prohibited. So number one is Tashmish Hamita. You can't have relations with your wife. If your relations with your, Nida, Isha, Nida, that's Chayef Kare. So relations are usher. And then not only relations, but even Chivuk V'Nishuk, hugging and kissing, one can't even touch one another, even not derechiba, even if it's not even non-sexual touch, we're strict even for that. Barring different exceptions, perhaps if someone's sick, etc. And the third one is what we do. We make harchakas. Harchakas like you make a fence around it. Like the rabbis made many on a biblical law. So the rabbis. So for instance, you're not allowed to have. The biblical prohibition is eating milk and meat together. The biblical prohibition is cooking milk and meat together and then eating it. So even though biblically speaking, chicken and milk can be eaten together, but since we're concerned, people are going to confuse chicken with meat. So therefore, rabbinically speaking, we extend it to chicken and milk as well. So we make fence. So why do we not let you have chicken and milk? Because of the concern that if we permit chicken and milk, you'll end up eating meat and milk. So too over here, that besides the biblical prohibitions of Tashmish Hamita, or that that's a discussion whether the hugging and touching and stuff we prohibited, whether it's biblical or not. And if it's not, derechiba. But the third one is, it's more to make a fence around. They're called harchakas. That basically, even while you're in Nida, so in order to avoid any touching, so therefore the rabbis made different harchakas. So some of the classical harchakas are, let's say, not keeping the beds together. Like obviously you can't sleep on one bed, so that's why you shouldn't have one bed to begin with, because when the wife's in Nida, one of you will be on the floor or somewhere else. So therefore, the practice is, you have two beds, you could put them together when your wife's not in Nida, but so that you separate them enough, so therefore that's one harchaka. They talk about even lying, when she's in Nida, you shouldn't be lying on her bed, even if you have clothes on. And so therefore, again, that's just a preventive measure. In fact, they went so far, not only touching, but they made a concept of not passing the food. So therefore, Yeah, well, let's say even passing the food. So in general, if a husband and wife are eating in the first year, it happens a lot. The two, you're eating home alone. So if she's a nida, so in order to recognize that she's a nida, so you put either use a certain like mat, you know, but it doesn't make a difference what you use. You could put out a cereal box. You could put out a different mat, a different cola bottle, whatever. There's no set thing what you have to do. It's if you have to, you do something different that you realize that, you know, your wife's in need that, so therefore you have a hecker. And then in general, you know, you can't eat her. She can eat your leftovers, but you can't eat her leftovers. And you can't, like, share a plate. You know, you have separate plates. And drinking, a little, the stricter on drinking, you shouldn't pour her eating. It's okay, she could serve you, but in terms of drinking, we assume a person should pour themselves. And also Kiddush a Friday night. So if you could, so either way, Kiddush, you could just drink and put the cup down. She's allowed to drink from your leftovers. Or let's say there are people there, you could just pour 3-4 cups, and then whoever takes them, I mean, it's not earmarked for one person or another. So that's, so it, the harchaka is that, well, having relations is biblical. Again, perhaps touching, that's a machlokas Rambam, exactly what's biblical, what's rabbinical. Everyone agrees there's no hugging and kissing. And then there's a third level, which everyone agrees is rabbinical, is in order not to touch, so therefore they made sure, like, so your beds are separate, and you don't pass things. In fact, they even talk about sitting on the same couch. Like, if you both could feel each other's, you know, movements on the couch, in terms of that. And in terms of, like car keys and that, so you don't give it to one another. However, there are those, Rabbi Willig is lenient, he calls it he says he figured out why women have pocketbooks. Why do you need a pocketbook? So it's when a woman's in need of, so let's say it's hard. So obviously if you're home, you just put it, let's say in a situation where you can't put the keys down, let's say you put them in the snow plank. So he thinks it's debatable, but he says you could rely on, you could drop the keys in her pocketbook and you could take it out. You could take it out. Another leniency he has is, because as we Mirtz Hashem in the future will be an issue, but not right away, is when you have a child. So what do you do? So you're not allowed to pass. So what about the child? So some people say no, you can't pass even a child, and others say no. So others, Sarai Willig thinks you can. He said because I've seen it also. He's seen people put the kids down on the floor. They put them on top of a car. They put them in a snow. In other words, you lose sight of how dangerous it is. And sometimes you get caught up in the ritual. So therefore, he thinks a child has a din of a chola she'ein bo sakana, has a din of someone who is a sick but not deathly ill. So therefore, he thinks if you're outside, and you're in public, so it's okay to pass one. You could pass the child to one another as opposed to like having to dump it on the ground somewhere, especially in the winter and all of that. So therefore, passing again, that's one of and again, with the passing as well. So if you're, and as well, if you're eating, and there's also, there's leniency that if, let's say you're eating with, you're eating with many other people. So obviously if they see like a cereal box there, they'll know like she's in need. So obviously you don't have to put anything out. You know, the assumption is that if you're in public, so you're not going to do any, you're going to be careful about not touching anyway. So then it's okay, you go to the, your in-law's house or parents, that type of thing. So you don't have to do things that anyone else would know that she's a nida. And as well, some say like you shouldn't, part of it, you shouldn't play like ping pong or like tennis, because that's like, some want to say that's like passing things to one another. Those type of, those type of things. But you know, but taking, so you know, so taking while she's in nida, you want, you know, taking a walk, all of that, that's fine. You know, you should do it as long as you're in public. Well, you know, an example is Central Park, but you're in Toronto, so whatever. You know, if it's during the day and it's in among other people, it's not a problem. You shouldn't be going on a, the discussion shouldn't be going on a secluded walk while she's in need, you know, especially at night or in a private area like that. But you, you could take a TO, a walk, you know, go to museums or whatever. And as well, they talk about singing. So generally speaking, you know, singing is a problem, but the post can make of, you know, if your wife, she's, you know, she likes singing, or, you know, assume she sings all the time. So this, so whatever she sings, you know, she likes singing when she's setting up the table or studying, whatever she's doing, so that's okay. So we assume it's not a problem because it's something hergo. You hear her singing all the time, so it's not going to be a, it's not going to be a problem with singing. And Rav Moshe writes, we have hachakas, we cover up, like you want to cover up. So obviously, you know, a person should always be properly dressed, but let's say the different levels of what's considered appropriate dress if you're outside and if you're inside your house. So even though, so let's, you know, so one only, Rav Moshe writes, one only has to be, you know, careful about what's considered appropriate for inside. You don't have to be strict on whatever you wouldn't wear outside, you won't wear inside. So, you know, so Rav Moshe's, you know, lenient in that way. Because these are the levels of harchaka. So they only apply when a woman is in nida, when she's in nida min haTorah. So then, not only is relations prohibited, but certainly, and as well, hugging and kissing is certainly prohibited, as well as we said, not only hugging and kissing, but even non-touching. You have to have the separate beds to be far apart. You don't pass to one another. You know, eating together, make, you know, leftovers. They're, you know, singing's okay. You know, taking tiyum at the, you know, at the right time. And then we said, and there, you know, for a baby, we said there's a heter of passing the baby, and Rav Willig is also lenient with pocketbooks if it's a crunch, because we're only dealing with Rabbanan. As we'll see, there'll be another time that we'll get to, is it's called a vesis. A woman that gets into, let's say a woman is expecting her period in this time period. We'll go into more details another week, but she's expecting. So if she's expecting, let's say her period, let's say tonight. So the lacha is, so you can, you know, so you can't have relations, because we're concerned you're gonna have relations, and then she's gonna see blood in the middle, and she'll become, you know, it'll be bol and nida. So, but however, let's say, but a period, I mean, a day is day and night. So let's assume if she saw her period at night, so then at nighttime, she, you know, whenever that next period is anticipated, so then you can't have relations at night. But let's say the period came during the day, but the night's part of the day. So there is a chumra of the Or Zeruah about even staying, not having relations a 12-hour period before. But the chazin is we don't follow that stringency. So basically, so in general, tilchas sniyas, we generally don't have relations during the day. So therefore, if she's expecting during the day, so it won't be an issue. You're not going to have relations anyway. But you don't have to worry about the night before. However, if the time is, the anticipation time is at night, and then whenever, you know, whenever that vesis is, I'm just saying hypothetically, there's something called, you go, there's one vesis that if she saw on the 20th day of the Jewish calendar, so let's say the next month on the 20th day, let's just assume that would be her vesis, so therefore that night she'd stay away. So you can't have relations during that time of the vesis, However, she's not a nida, so you don't have to worry about her chakras. You could do all the other things. You could pass things, eat together. There's a discussion. What about hugging and kissing during that time period? So that's a machlokes harishonim. So the general rule is restrict during the time when she's anticipating a period. Not only do we not have relations, which is definitely usher, but since we're strict for the opinion that no hugging and kissing. However, that's negotiable. Like, let's say your wife's having a bad day, a hard day, and she needs a hug. So then there's room to be lenient on the hugging and kissing part. The relations is definitely usher. The harchakas are definitely mutter during this time because she's not a nida, so we don't do any harchakas. It's just anticipation that she might become a nida, so we're generally strict as well on hugging and kissing during that time. Any questions? Okay, great. So get a good night's sleep. You'll be busy. I have a shiur tomorrow night. We'll continue next week. We have plenty of time. It's not. You said it's not to the 30th, right? 29th? So we have another 3 weeks. So plenty of time. Okay. Have a good night.